Okay, as people are beginning to filter in, we are going to switch now a little bit towards talking about actual what the solution is, the process that we're going through, and you know, more information about the technical aspects of the product, what we've wrestled with, the direction we're headed, and what is there and what is about to be there. So I'm bringing in Jakob from Index Data, one of the key core development team on the project.
The title of my talk is Folio Architecture, Development, and Roadmap, in this order. It's kind of the opposite order of the stuff you've seen in the agenda. I think it kind of makes sense for me to go over architecture, then how we build the tools, build the platform, and then talk a little bit about the roadmap at the end. So before I start, first question, how many developers do we have here in the room? How many programmers? All right, so there is some. Okay, cool. You know, when you have a mixed audience, it's always challenging to plan a talk to kind of not bore one part of the audience while the other part is entertained. I try to keep the buzzword level to minimum in that presentation, but sometimes it was hard, so I'd like to apologize for that before I start. But you know, hopefully by the end of the talk, we can also have some questions and some conversation about stuff. So let me get started. Who am I? I'm not a librarian, so you know, guilty as charged. I'm a software developer. I've been working with library software though for about 10 years, mostly with index data and mostly through the open source tools that we have built over the years and have been supporting and also based on those tools, bespoke software models that we built for vendors, for libraries, for consortial use, etc. And I'm acting as a technical project manager for the Folio core team. That's the team comprised of developers from Index Data, knowledge integration. You will hear from Mark talking about the piece knowledge integration is working on, and also Olay developers. So Olay, open library environment, the Open Library Foundation has donated some developers to the project, and they work with the core team as part of the core team. So who is Index Data? It's the world's smallest global company. We have 20 plus people, mostly developers, some library specialists, so ex-librarians helping us, you know, to make sense of requirements, make sense of the library world. We have, you know, over 20 years of experience building open source software. You might know some of the tools, like Yas or Zebra. Yas is the, you know, Z350 toolkit, so a fairly exotic library information retrieval protocol. It's really widely used. Most ILSs include Yas in one form or another. So most likely in the tools that you're using already, there is a bit of our software. And also Zebra, which is a search engine behind Koha. You most likely know Koha, so it's at the heart of Koha ILS. And we have a long history of collaborating in European and US public projects, including with people like Kayant. And also we've built a lot of specific software for vendors like EBSCO. So goals of the Folio project. So the main sort of goal is to, you know, bring community together, create a platform, create an ecosystem, as you know, Chris was Neil were talking about, where we can exchange ideas and we can also build some software. So not only talk on the high level, but that should be possible too, and then get those ideas implemented. And what's the technical approach? So the technical approach is that we want to have a highly modular, decentralized platform. So a platform where it's really easy to exchange certain parts By definition, the platform needs to evolve because we know the requirements are changing, then the needs of libraries are changing. The library as a science, as a practice is changing. That needs to be supported. That's the goal of the platform. So long-term evolution. So I'll go briefly through Folio architecture and talk about the core parts. If you wanna hear more about Folio and architecture, I recommend you go to this link, and that's where we had a Folio forum, one of the Open Library Foundation organized forums, where you can hear more about the architecture and the project. And I'll share those slides after the talk, so you guys will have access to this. So we're building, I just want to be clear, we're building a workshop. That's what we're building right now. That's the state of things right now. We want to have IKEA-like ready components that you can just pick and choose to build your kitchen, to build your living room. But right now, Folio is a workshop. So it's a collection of tools, collection of practices, guides and recommendations and APIs on top of that, that will allow somebody to assemble a working ILS. But it's just worth to keep it in mind. That's what it is right now, just to kind of keep the expectations on the right level. So the architecture. It is designed as an extensible library services platform. That's the plan. What does it mean? It means that it has modules, as you know from traditional ILSs, but those modules are fully replaceable. Well, it sounds nice, but how do we want to achieve this? I mean, and maybe I should talk about this in a moment. The other feature of that platform needs to be that it's cloud ready. It's cloud ready, meaning that EBSCO or any other vendor can take it, can host it for multiple libraries. By pulling libraries and pulling resources, it can be cheaper, it can be more effective to host. So it needs to be built from the bottom up with cloud support in mind, and that's how we're building it. And I'll talk a little bit more about what specifically we're trying to do to support that mode. But at the same time, we know that there are certain libraries, certain university libraries, certain organizations that will want to host the project themselves. So we need to support that. We need to have a platform that anybody can download. Maybe they will need a technical staff to help with that. Maybe it's not going to be as easy as, let's say, with monolithic systems like Koha. But it's, at the same time, it still needs to be possible. So we're testing the platform as we go on a local installation, including Raspberry Pi, if guys know it. It's a tiny, tiny computer that is not very powerful, just to keep us honest to this premise and make sure that we're really building something that anybody can run. And the platform, as it is being designed, it's being sort of designed around very tightly defined interfaces. By interfaces, I mean networking interfaces in this case. So we're using tools like Dremel, like JSON schema, like SQL that you might know from some library specs to establish clear specification for those interfaces. Because we know that implementation, so the modules underneath, the software underneath, is gonna change quite rapidly. But we wanna have a view over the ecosystem where those parts are different modules are really compartmentalized, and they can talk together. And in order to achieve that, we need to have a clear definition of those interfaces. They need to be versioned. They need to be a place for them to evolve, to grow, to expand. But at the same time, they need to be very, very strict. So that's the sort of 10,000 feet view over the architecture. A small diagram. What does it mean, sort of, in terms of different components in Folio? We will have a layer of system-level services that we call system modules that provide the sort of basic APIs, basic capabilities that anybody needs. That's the stuff on the left. So things for managing modules. Of course, it starts with operational things. So managing modules, administrating the system, either if you're a service provider like EBSCO or a local library that wants to host the system themselves, we'll have, since it's a multi-tenant system, we'll have APIs and functionality to manage tenants, and then the basic functionality that any library needs. So managing patrons, managing users in general, metadata store, that, you know, that piece needs to be extensible because there are different needs in the community. Authentication, authorization, collaboration tools, you know, we need to support consortia. and usage slash audit of the system. Then on the higher level, a sort of more business-specific, library-specific modules. Apps, you could say, parts of the apps at least. Circulation, cataloging, acquisition, discovery, etc. Those need to be tuned to match specific library requirements, and we hope libraries are going to help us with that and organizations that can put up developers for the project. And then, finally, on the top level is the UI. We know the UIs like to change very quickly. We envision that the lifetime of a UI piece will be much shorter than the lifetime of the backend modules. That's why we want to have a toolkit where it's fairly easy to build UIs quickly, but at the same time, you know, that piece can change much, much faster compared to the other pieces. Because once you agree on certain interfaces, and you have customers or you have clients depending on those interfaces, you can just go ahead and, you know, just flip everything inside out. You need to do it slowly, you need to be backwards compatible, etc. So the UI piece is really kept separately. And I'll talk a little bit more about the technologies that we use to build the UI. So the backend. Okapi is a tool that we have developed in order to make all this possible. So in order to allow for the architecture to be realized on the technical level, on the low level, we have built a tool that is kind of working as a switchboard. It's not a, you know, you could compare it to a middleware software, like some of you might know Java application servers or .NET, etc. But it's on a much, much sort of less constrained level. So it's a tool sitting in the middle of the whole Folio platform, understanding traffic coming in, requests coming in from different modules, different clients, directing them to proper backend modules, enforcing things like authentication, authorization, auditing, traffic shaping, etc. So doing everything that you might want to do without sort of constraining the functionality of the modules. So what are the modules? We have two different kinds of modules on the Folio, in the Folio platform. First of all, the server-side modules, which are self-contained HTTP servers. This sort of approach is microservices inspired. So rather than constraining the development teams to use the same technology stack that we, IndexedData or KEnd or EBSCO is using, we wanted to have a tool and where, you know, you can pretty much come up with any solution you wish to build, as long as it's a good citizen in the ecosystem. So as long as you follow certain rules about how to write the software, as long as you implement specific APIs for monitoring, for authentication, as long as you follow general guidelines that we have for the APIs, you're okay to choose whatever tool you want to do that. You need to supply the runtime, the code, in some certain way. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that in a moment. So there are certain limitations, certain constraints, of course, required. But in general, you're really free to choose the best tool available to your team, the best tool that your team is familiar with. We will supply as part of the system the core modules, as I said, mostly dealing with persistent data, so data ranging from patron data, user data in general, bibliographic data, etc. But even those will be replaceable. Not runtime replaceable. It won't be as easy as just installing an application from the so-called app store. They will be something that a service provider has to pre-configure because they have dependencies on databases, on triple stores in some cases, etc. But they will be still replaceable. The whole platform, no matter on which level, follows the same principles. It has to be interfaced, it has to be well described, it has to be strict and versioned. Those elements that we encourage people to write, so the higher level modules, the sort of library specific functionalities, we will also provide certain guidelines on how to write them, because we want them to be stateless. We want it to be very easy for us to load balance the whole system, so spin off new instances of those modules. So generally, if you look how multi-tenant systems are built, that should be a surprise. And of course, we'll, as part of the project, provide certain guidelines on writing those modules. Now, the client, so the UI piece. Parallel to Okapi, we're building a tool, a framework called Stripes, which is the UI framework for the whole Folio platform. It is built on top of React. It's a JavaScript technology that is gaining sort of widespread adoption. And Redux, which is a companion technology that is used for managing the state in your client-side application. We will be sort of... React and Redux can get very complex. It can get, and the whole ecosystem is rapidly changing, and it can be really confusing for newcomers. So we will sort of pre-configure the system, and Stripes is a collection of those components, and we'll make it easy for newcomers to build UIs on top of it. So we'll hide most of the details behind, for example, handling Redux and handling state with, handling state with Redux. So Folio UI will be a single page application, since that's what React and Redux technology means effectively. And we will have an approach for every tenant to generate a new set of bundles, pretty much a new set of application, a new bundle of application to speed up things like, you know, accessing the web pages. And different modules. So the system will be modular, but you will not lose any of the efficiency of a monolithic system, since the selection of modules, unlike, you know, what happens on your cell phone, where, you know, you can just dynamically install an app, it doesn't change the rest of the system. In our case, actually, we'll be sort of rebuilding the whole system to optimize for the new app that you're installing. And again, UI is totally decoupled from the rest of the system, from the backend functionality. It expresses certain data needs. We have so-called Stripes Connect library, where you can use a static manifest to define your data needs. So I need to access patron data, and I need to access it at, you know, this and this version. And also, by the way, I need access to the permission store to manipulate it. And I have, you know, certain set of permissions or rights that allow me to do it. So you'll have all those, you know, as a developer of the UI, options to communicate with the backend and those rich interfaces. And that's just like a high-level representation of modules and what an app is. You can see on the right side, that's the server-side module. That's the piece that you can write in any language, and that's the piece that gets installed on the hosting system, on the server side, and then on the right side, the client side, which is a JavaScript bundle that gets injected into the user interface before the user interface is rebuilt for a specific tenant. And there is, you know, a lot of metadata to make this seamless. We want the system to be mostly declarative, so rather than having to code a lot of interactions, you should just be able to sort of define your needs in terms of data, in terms of hosting, in terms of things like load balancing even, and then we take care of the rest, meaning the Folio platform takes care of the rest. Excuse me. So those deployment descriptors on the right, the UI descriptor on the left, and then the module descriptor, which is like the top-level metadata descriptor for the whole platform, is taking care of that. So Okapi, why Okapi? It's a sort of play of words, OK API. We hope to deliver really OK APIs. We also had a tool before called Zebra, as I mentioned, so it feels like a natural progression, since it's a mix of Zebra and Azure. So some implementation details very quickly of Okapi. It's, as I said, it's inspired by the microservices architecture. It's an implementation, fairly close implementation of the so-called gateway pattern, API gateway pattern, excuse me. We have used an extremely fast and non-blocking toolkit to build it called Vertex. It's a Java toolkit for some of you guys that know Java. It's one of those modern toolkits where you have full control over how the packaging is done, how your dependencies are managed, unlike traditional Java application servers. In Folio, you know, and when we talk to modules, when we introduce new modules, we have decided to rely on HTTP and its semantics because that's the sort of most widely supported protocol. Any language, any tool has support for HTTP and JSON, so it feels like a natural choice. We have, Okapi allows you to combine in a more sort of complex ways different modules, different endpoints to achieve things like, for example, authentication that always happen first and certain post filters that depend on the state of the responses from the modules, etc. So you'll have all those abilities in Okapi. Okapi comes with Vertex generally comes with a powerful event bus. That's for anything that requires message-based approach. So I send an event to make sure that something happens all over the system, not necessarily knowing who's going to deal with it. So we'll have those capabilities, and we'll expose them in many different ways. Some of those mentions here, like Stomp and AMQP protocols. So Okapi, as the rest of the system, is managed using RESTful interfaces. So on its own, it's a collection of services that any sort of HTTP client can access and can do things like deploy modules, enable modules for tenants, disable those modules for tenants, for a specific set of tenants, do monitoring, include authentication, authorization, etc. So all that stuff, full control over the system will happen on the API level, and it will be, of course, documented and exposed just like any other module. So in general, there is really no difference, at least from the API standpoint, from the modules that are deployed in the platform to the core of the platform. So as I mentioned, pluggable interfaces, that's the modules. Once installed and enabled and configured for any tenant, that they become sort of not distinguishable from the rest of the platform. I mean, that's what your API layer, your interface layer is all about. Some of that stuff is replaceable, but it really doesn't matter for example somebody who's writing a client like the UI. I'll skip the final one. So just an overview of what actual services are in Okapi might be useful for some of you guys. So the proxy registry service, that's the piece that manages registration of modules for given tenants and proxies traffic according to that configuration. We have a discovery service. So as I mentioned, the system is cloud ready. So there's going to be multiple instances at any given time running for any given module. We need to find those instances. We need to make sure that they're healthy, that they're running. And before request actually takes place, you need to get access to the proper instance. And that of course, has to happen transparently. So Okapi is doing that, managing that. You're not seeing any of this. And then, of course, the UI service. So as I said, UI will be regenerated on demand for every tenant to enforce that, that it's highly optimized. And that's the fourth part of Okapi, which is doing just that. So that's an overview of the architecture. Again, if you guys want to know more, I recommend watching the screencast from the ALF Open Library Foundation forum. Now I just talk a little bit about how we develop the core platform, what tools do we use to collaborate, etc. So the code is at GitHub, github.com/folio.org, folio-org, and that's where we keep all the components. So all the modules, Okapi, Stripes, everything is under that single address. Issue tracking on GitHub is turned off. We use Jira instead, and Jira, the link to Jira is is in the dev website. So if you go to the dev website, you can see all those links again, but I'll share the slides. And you know, there we have a collection of projects that represent different components to this system, but we also have a catch-all project called Folio. So if you need, you know, you're playing with the platform, you have some issues, you're not sure which component it belongs to, you can always just file it under the catch-all component, and then we take care of organizing that. So the Folio core team, so that's index data, knowledge integration, and OLA at this point, has full access to that repo. But of course, as per GitHub model, anybody can create a fork, make some changes, or create an additional feature and send us a pull request. And we're going to be actively looking at those pull requests. We have code styles and contributing guidelines on the dev website, so I encourage you to look through them. We're mostly using Java and JavaScript for the project, so we have two set of guidelines for those two technology stacks. Now, just a list of collaboration tools that we use. As I mentioned, at Index Data, we're kind of used to collaborating online because we have about 20 people, all in different countries, Germany, UK, the US, Denmark, etc. So, we always had tough time doing development this way because we needed some additional tools that will support us, that will help us doing that. In Folio, it means Slack, so for any sort of interactive communication, if you want to reach out to developers directly, or the experts, and pretty much anybody in the community, you can use Slack. We also have a wiki, so that's for the more sort of thought-through designs and discussions. We also have the Discuss, so it's more like a forum, discussion forum, where, information and designs that were kind of conceptualized in form of prototypes or some write-ups end up. And we actually had a screencast also about those tools and how we sort of envision using them. I know Chris also already mentioned some of that in his slides, but I provide here a link where we sort of discuss more about, talk more about this, those different tools. The software stack, as it is right now, so a copy, the sort of the middleware component, Stripes, the UI toolkit, RAML module builder, that's a server-side toolkit for anybody who wants to write those modules, those server-side modules in Java, where we provide a lot of functionality so you don't have to go through the pain of writing a lot of boilerplate code. We do a lot of stuff like registration with Okapi, like providing APIs, automatically providing APIs to monitor, audit your code directly. So if you happen to use Java, you can tap into this functionality for free and build your modules on top of RAML module builder. If you don't, you do it your way. It's totally fine. There's not going to be any difference in terms of the platform, but of course it might be a bit more harder for you to implement all those APIs. Folio sample module is a repo where we have a guideline for writing different kinds of modules, simple modules, backends, UI, trivial modules that can kind of show you how to get started with your own module. So Folio modules, as I said, all code is kept on GitHub under the Folio organization. All the modules, just to differentiate them a little bit from the platform, are kept with a mod prefix. So you can, when you view GitHub, you can see, which elements are actually modules and which are some supporting libraries or some toolkits that we have developed. When you look at one of those GitHub repos for the modules, you can see the layout for the module. So you can see that it always includes a Docker file. That's how we want to make sure that's how we want to manage dependencies around those different technologies. Because what I haven't mentioned is that it sounds great when you have an open stack like Folio, where you allow people to use different tools to write modules, but it becomes a nightmare to host it. That's why we've chosen Docker, just to make sure that people provide all those dependencies without us really understanding how the module is built internally. And then those bits of folio/Okapi metadata that we need to manage the module, to provide access to certain APIs and, you know, safe access, because it includes permissions in many cases, that's the deployment and on module descriptors. And Okapi and Folio have pretty good documentation about, you know, what information, what data you need to put in those descriptors. So what have we built so far in terms of actual functionality? And all of those are early prototypes, meaning that they will change and change quite a bit. We have not at all entered the phase of stable APIs. We're going to break those APIs as we need to. We have a very sort of active group of SMEs and special interest groups working on defining functionality, and we just, you know, as we go, we're just going to break this. We're going to change this, so to make sure that this is up to the designs that those guys provide. So mod auth, it's a pluggable token-based authentication for Folio. Pluggable meaning you can put it against an existing authentication system. You just need to provide a facade so Folio can understand what your authentication system does. So it could be anything. It could be Active Directory, for example. Mod users is our user slash, well, so staff slash patron management module. Mod metadata. Mark will be talking more about mod metadata. It is envisioned as a unified resource management solution. Mod circulation is a piece for circulating purely like just physical records that we have put up. Mod acquisitions is very early stages, but has to do with, you know, acquisition stuff and all the financial stuff in the library. And mod configuration is a generic key value store for storing configuration from different modules. So any module will need some persistent data that is not library specific, and we want to offer, you know, a solution for those modules to do this without really having to write your specific domain models. So as I mentioned, we use Jira for issue tracking. The public Jira instances at issues.folio.org. You can go to that instance, register, create an account, look through the issues. Everything is public. Create issues in Folio project. If you know exactly where to find stuff. You know, very simplistic Jira configuration. We want to start simple with every single piece of the project. So rather than overthinking it, we have basic set of features. And that's pretty much it. We also use Jira to manage an ongoing UX driven project. So we get some prototypes. I think Chris has shown some of those prototypes. Those are the initial applications that we're going to build as the core team, just to, you know, pave the way for other application development. And it's a slightly different kind of development from the backend, or the platform development. That's where we really need to have a lot of contact with stakeholders, with people that envision this functionality. And we also drive this process slightly differently. And that's the LibUp project in Jira. But everything is public again. You can see through those issues. So a lot of functionality again in Folio is driven by the UX team. The UX team is headed by Philip Jakobsen, who's a UX specialist, and he's working with librarians for various institutions right now, mostly from Olay, but also others, the so-called SMEs, the subject matter experts, to establish the baseline functionality for Folio. Because Folio, besides the core platform, will be also a set of functionalities and a set of initial apps to do everything a library needs to do. And that's an ongoing process. You can look at sort of details of those SIG meetings, etc., on our wiki. Again, community feedback is encouraged, and we would like to hear more about, you know, those plans, designs, also about software, and that's what discuss.folio.org is for. The UX process will deliver a set of prototypes, set of wireframes, designs to the development team. So that's to us, and you know, we're currently working on implementing different pieces. All right, so that's it for development and sort of an overview of how we're doing things. Now the roadmap, and you know, this is kind of speculative, I just want to say, because you know, things change as we go. Some things get delayed, other things get prioritized. So this is under heavy, it's a living document. It's also on our wiki. So you can go to the wiki to see the latest version. But in general, the plan for winter, so now pretty much, is to have the Exemplar application ready. That we have chosen user management application to be the initial app on the, built on the platform. We are just finishing it it off. We're just rounding the edges a little bit, adding some functionality, but it's largely finished. The initial version, and I want to say, you know, 0.1, like really initial version of the Stripe, so the UI toolkit is ready. Very basic controls and widgets, so you know, developers who are interested in writing apps on the platform can go and see how the exemplar application is structured, how those widgets are used, you know, how do I tap into that functionality. Then the persistent subsystem, that's the subsystem that allows you to store data. In this case, for the example application, it's the user staff/patron data. Again, we have mostly focused on building the storage layer, the persistence layer, which is backed up by Postgres, and allowing this layer to be extensible. All the schemas for the actual data, so the data fields, relationships between the data, that's placeholder stuff for now, pretty much. I mean, some of that stuff is kind of fixed and will remain most likely, but we are open to changing any of that, you know, as we get the feedback from the SIG process. And of course, initial version of Okapi, and that's also complete. Then sort of non-implementation deliverables, definition of key domains. So that's the stuff we've been working on in SIG, but also with some developer input. So knowledge-based support, which Mark will be talking about, resource management, which is a really heavily ongoing discussion led by Philip, user and permission management, which we have largely nailed down by now. UI UX design for all those elements. So for resource management, circulation, record loading, rights management, those get added to the prototype. So Folio has a prototype, which I will a link to which I will also share with you after the presentation, where you can see sort of the latest state of things in the Folio UI. So the platform is one thing, but there is also a set of apps, those initial apps that I mentioned, and this gets driven by the UX process, and you can see, you know, how we envision doing certain things, those basic things. And then, you know, technical things like build and release management. So as we go into a more sort of stable development cycle, we want to, you know, make sure we don't break interfaces that often. And when we do, it's clear for people using our code, because we really want to have people building software on top of Folio. We need to be, you know, a bit more strict about, you know, our releases, our builds. So CI, you know, continuous integration, continuous testing, that sort of stuff. And then we also want to make it easy for people to just get all those elements and run them. So we have created some set of images. We call it Folio in a Box, where you can pretty much go to a link, get the whole platform, I mean, the version of some of the components, and, you know, run them on your local machine using Vagrant and a virtual machine. Just, you know, just to play with it or just to build some stuff on top of it. So spring 2017, I should maybe mention that in the winter, the whole plan, why we have selected those elements and why we have sort of prioritized those bits. I mean, the goal is to get more external teams working on top of Folio. So far it's been the core team. The core team is sort of mixed. You know, we have Ole, we have knowledge integration developers, but we want other people. We want external developers to start playing with the platform. They will need documentation. They will need stuff just working. And we really encourage people to, you know, to get on board, you know, write code, because that gives us feedback. You know, we we know, you know, where we have some stuff to do, where the platform is missing, either documentation or just functionality. So that's the feedback we really want to have at this point. So that was the goal, you know, just, you know, providing enough of everything so that we can support independent teams building their own stuff. So spring 2017, maybe I won't go, again, you know, I won't go in detail through this. That stuff is in the slides. If you want to look through it, it's also a living document on the Twiki. You know, as we sort of move forward, things get blurry. You know, we can only really plan in detail next couple of months, because as we go, we kind of see that, okay, this stuff takes a little bit more time than we expected, or this is being blocked by some other dependency, etc. So this is, you know, this is a list of nice to haves. How is this is gonna exactly play out? We don't know. What we do know is that summer in 2018, we want to have some initial libraries go live. And it's most likely going to be libraries from the around the Olay project, because they are sort of most engaged at this point, and they have also put up developers to work with the system, so they will have some in-house knowledge. It's not clear who exactly would go live, but that's the vision for Folio. Mark mentioned that we kind of would like to have this, you know, step-by-step introduction of Folio, so rather than you just drop everything you have in your library, drop the ILS, all other tools you might use, we just want to make sure that Folio allows to plug in those elements and slowly migrate to other tools, maybe more native to Folio over time. So again, a living document on Twiki, so I, you know, recommend going there for the latest version. In terms of reactions and feedback that we got from what we have built so far, there is a screencast from Open Library Foundation where the it's a report from the Olay technical review team. So if you guys are interested in terms of what other developers / librarians think about the project after looking at the code closely, you can go there and listen and see the video. It's kind of outdated because it's from October 2016 and the project is moving very quickly, but it's worth seeing anyway. So if you want to try out Folio yourself, again, you know, it's a workshop. It's not an ILS at this point. We have some development builds that we're gonna update as we go, most likely weekly, you know, eventually daily. As we write new code, it's just gonna become available in that Folio in a box installation. And that's the link where you can go and fetch some builds. And so what next? So Folio is a really sort of widely discussed topic right now in the library community. And we're gonna have a series of events where we're gonna talk more about Folio and kind of report on our progress. So there's ALA Midwinter coming up like next week, I think. Then we're gonna be present at Code for Lib during the pre-conference workshops. We're gonna have a pre-conference workshop on Folio, just, you know, running Folio, writing some trivial modules against Folio, that sort of stuff. Then we're gonna be at ELAC in Athens in June, and many smaller, you know, local events and conferences also. I think there's gonna be announcements on this gas for all of those. And that's all I have. Thank you.